Well, happy Mother's Day, everyone. And a big thank you to, does this work? Am I getting some feedback? Happy Mother's Day, and thank you for all the mothers out there who have raised us and nurtured us and taken their time and given them of themselves to make sure that we get up in the morning and put clothes on our back and food in our bellies. And as we focus today on the important role that mothers have given us to influence us and our children and our families in a godly way, we just need to remember that God has put a huge purpose inside of your mothers' lives to raise children. But also, you know, Mother's Day always isn't the happiest day of the year for everyone, because there's a lot of trials. There's a lot of difficulties and pain that women and people have to go through in their lives, or do go on through in their lives, that we look and say, geez, do I stand up to the level of what everybody else is doing? But luckily, we've got Christ to fall back on and to be our sense of self-worth and whatnot. So let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to be here with us today. Dear Heavenly Father, I praise you, and I thank you for being our God, Lord. I thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to guide our hearts and our actions, and I ask you to be here today and to open up our hearts and open up my mouth to speak your word and to glorify you, Lord. Be with us today, and I love you. Amen. Okay, so as I was preparing today, I just want to say Mother's Day can be a day of joy, and a wonderful thoughts and times spent with our families, with celebrating strong relationships, but it also can bring a lot of pain, broken relationships, disappointments, and trials that we look back in our own lives. You know, mothers out there have to bear a lot of weight, brokenheartedness, families, miscarriages, deaths of siblings and children, and then women have to also, if they can't have kids, you know, they have to bear that as well. But it's important to remember that, you know, God isn't always just there in the good times when we check off all the boxes, but also in the bad times. And according to his trials, his plan, he's a God of peace, love, joy, which brings time of joy and trial. So when I started preparing, I struggled to say, what am I going to talk about? I struggled to lay a focus, because in my own life, my mother has been a huge influence in my life and a positive influence in my life. And I've had a lot of good positive influences in my life. My mother was a godly woman that raised me and raised me to know Christ, raised me to always respect people, to look after other people, to be generous and whatnot. And I've had some other amazing influences in my life. I had a lady I lived with in high school. Her and her family took me in so I could play high school football. And she provided just an unbelievable influence in my life that I didn't actually understand until later on in my life, because of the godly influence she put in. And when I look back, I go, she was such a steadfast woman that lived by the principles of God and of Christ, and she influenced her life. And I look at her daughters, all married, all have children, all living a Christian life with believing that Jesus Christ died for their sins. And she had a huge influence in my life. And then another lady, my college roommate's mother, she took time in the first couple of years of college, again, to provide that motherly influence. And just mainly just women that have influenced my life to progress into the man that I am, and in a godly way brought me closer to Christ. But as I was preparing, I got a lot of people come and talk to me and said, you know what, Mother's Day isn't always a good day for people. Mother's Day is a hard day for people, because there's broken relationships. There's when mothers feel that they don't live up to a standard that other people are living up to. Some people can't be mothers. You know, physically, they can't have children, and that weighs on them because they feel like they've left something out. So I don't know, when I was doing that, I even had a guy from Saskatchewan, out of the complete blue, I videoed his cattle one year, and didn't have much, you know, we talked, he started to evangelize to me, and then we started talking about Christianity, and we just had a great conversation, and we've kind of texted maybe twice since then. That was probably 3 years ago. He texted me randomly this week, and we started talking about what I was preparing for, and he goes, you know, it's been, Mother's Day has some different thoughts for me because my father died on that day. And just a lot of people have come and said, you know, it's a tough thing. And that's tough for me because I sit there and go, I've had these women that have come and influenced my life and lived out Proverbs 22:6, train up your children in the way they should go, then when they're old, they will not depart from it. So that's how I see it. But then I started to see, you know what, there is pain. There is things that we need to give to Christ and to God to move on with our lives in a relationship with him. And how blessed we are that we have that. So we look at that and we go, okay, well, how about child raising? I know there's pain. It's from my own personal view. We've had to deal with some things. I've had to deal with miscarriages. I have to deal with losses of a sibling. My mother is a saint who's had to deal with two of her daughters dying. So there's pain that you have to give to Christ. So I go, how about kids? You know, maybe I can talk about raising our kids properly. But I'm looking at my credibility there, and I don't know how much I've got there. Ken just said maybe we shouldn't have our kids running around. I'm pretty sure that was focused at me. So when we raise our kids, when we think about it, and I know we were probably the parents as well, when we first had kids, we thought we knew it all, right? You know, we thought we knew it all. And then as you have more and the more you learn that you know, the more you learn that you don't know. And I couldn't fathom sitting there going, well, this is what you do right, because as soon as you do that right for one, the next one won't. And I can't say, hey, it'll be okay, you know, outside of the love of our Father, which he gives to bear our lead and to help us raise our things and help us. So what we're going to do today is a little bit different. I'm going to start out by saying thank you, moms. Moms, biological moms. Moms that aren't biological moms that take the time to influence, take the time to teach our Sunday school classes, that teach, that volunteer for soccer practices. I saw a mom discipline her kid on the soccer field the other day, and I was like, that is awesome, because I would whip my boy's tail too. But they take their times, and they take their emotions, and they give of themselves, and I want to thank each and every one of you that are out there, you ladies, because you do such a huge thing. And that's regardless if you're a mom, biologically, or you're taking the time to influence. And it's a huge thank you. All the ladies that are up there teaching right now. And I can say, ladies, I'm pretty sure I'm the only man that goes up and teaches on Sundays for the Sunday school class, I think. So I thank them because that is a huge influence. And that is wonderful. And I don't think any of them are teaching their own kids. So thank you, moms, who take that time. But because I've never been a mother, we're going to focus on something else. Still focus on mothers, but I'm not going to give my motherly advice. So what we're going to go through today is something that I think that God showcases in the Bible through women on how we can live our lives and how we can focus and say, okay, these are some things that he said about women and some stories in the Bible that focus on women that he has showcased women doing amazing things, and how each of us, regardless of our sex, man or woman, because those are the two sexes they are, can, and I hope you got that reference, that can influence our lives in a positive way to live more like God, okay, to live more like Christ. Okay, so three things that I want you to take on is that we need to be purposefully working on ourselves to glorify God. And that God doesn't judge us by comparing us to one another, but he judges us by the Holy Spirit's work in us, okay? The second is submit to his will, which is very difficult, and we're going to look at two stories that we all know, but we're going to look at the submission. And then three, just like childbirth, because childbirth is special. It's special that only women get to experience, thank goodness, and but it's also, it points us to the rebirth through the death and resurrection of Christ that we get through him, okay? So first, let's turn to Proverbs 31. If everybody wants to turn there, when I was talking to Ken, he says that's a difficult one because it puts a picture of what a woman should be striving for in their lives. And not everyone lives up. Actually, I'm pretty sure nobody lives up to the lady that we're going to read about here. I look at my wife. She's pretty much amazing, and she doesn't really even get there either. Close, though, close. So I want, when we read through this, It's a picture of a woman of faith who should be striving to, and we shouldn't judge against, because God does not judge us by comparison, but by the work of the Holy Spirit that he's doing through our lives, okay? And a picture of a godly woman that a young man should be looking for. Just like I tell our young guys in Sunday school class, find somebody that's equally yoked. And we pray for our kids, and I know my father prayed for us to have godly Christian wives and Christian spouses. So pray for your kids to find an equally yoked spouse so their lives and their relationships and their marriages can grow. And this young lady that we're going to read about, or this mother, or this woman that we're going to read about, that's the kind of man we need, woman we need to find in our lives, young men. And at the start, we're going to find out about a man that the women should be looking for. So let's take a look at Proverbs 31. We'll start right from the start, number one, verse one. The words of King Laam, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your way to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Laam. It is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to take a strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed, and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the ones who are perishing, and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty, and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Okay, so Proverbs 31 is a proverb that right now a lot of women's groups and that kind of stuff are really, you know, we're talking, this is what kind of women we need to be, right? But how do we start off? It starts off the first nine verses talking to men, right off the bat, okay? So right off the bat, and he talks about men, which we find a lot of the time when we look through Scripture, at least that I find when I look through Scripture, and it's a passage that is pointed towards women or using women as examples, they usually address the men either right before it or right afterwards, and usually it's a lot harder than what the woman has to deal with too. Not harder, but maybe we have to get your area done too. And there's a few different reasons. A, men, we can't just think that women need to take care of themselves, and women can't think that men just need to take care of themselves. It's a joint fracture, especially when we're working together in a marriage or relationship, that we are one flesh. And first, you have to deal with yourself before you can go and pick the thorn out of somebody else's eye, right? Take the log out of your own eye before you can get your thorn out of the other person's eyes. So you first have to deal with yourself. So men, we need to look at this. And he says, it gives us two things we're going to point out from here. Don't give yourself into the lust of the flesh. So men, you know, when we look at women, don't give into the lust of the flesh. Don't be unfaithful. Be faithful to God's plan for marriage and the union of a man and a wife. Save yourself for your wife. It's like packing your bag. When I talk to the kids upstairs, we talk about packing your bag. And all the decisions that you make and all the emotional baggage you bring in, you put into a bag. And every time you make a decision, it's either a lightweight or a heavyweight. But you're putting it into your bag. And as we live through our lives, every time we go through an experience, good and bad, it goes into this bag. Right? And our choices pick what kind of stuff goes inside of that bag. Now, we are blessed that we have Jesus. And because of that, he takes that bag when it is burdenful and weightful. He picks it up and he helps us carry it. And he carries it, and inside of God's eyes, that bag's empty. And it's only filled with what Jesus has. But yet, still here on earth, we still have our experiences. We can't just magically not remember something. These weights will always be on us. And that bag still has to be carried. Okay? That bag still has to be carried. So we have to, when we go to make our decisions, it starts off, don't give your strength to women. That means keep yourself. Don't just run after something of lust of your eyes. Okay? Same thing with the drink. Don't just go after the lust of your eyes. Right? Don't go after, oh, I'm going to drink this. Or they're gluttony. Or something that you have to have. Calm down. Breathe a little bit. And say, what does God want me to do here? Okay, and remember to only put the good stuff into your bag, because the baggage that you carry into your life and into your marriage and into your finances and into every aspect of your life is your decision, and your choice, okay? And at the end, it says, hold up what is right, okay? Judge properly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy, and stand up and support the people around you, your wife, your daughters. Because if you do that, they can live out the rest of the scripture. So first, it addresses men, which is interesting, in my opinion, okay? And then the next part, we're going to go through Proverbs 10 to 31. An interesting part about this, it's about women. And a pretty godly woman and an amazing picture of what a strong, godly woman looks like. Now, when we go through it, especially on Mother's Day, I don't want you guys to be thinking about, hey, I'm not living up to this standard, right? Because I don't think anybody is. But God doesn't judge us by comparing us by comparison to others. He's judging us on how the Holy Spirit is working within us, okay? And as I was listening onto a question and answer with John Piper, he had a lady call in on a question after going through this scripture verse and said, she was a disabled lady, and she's like, I cannot live up to this. I cannot get up early and sow the fields and plant a vineyard and do this, this, and this. I physically can't do it. And he goes, you're right. But God doesn't sit there and go, well, you all got to be at a 10, on a scale of 1 to 10. If you're not a 10, you're not working right. Right? He doesn't, that's not how it works. He goes, if you're a 1 and the Holy Spirit is moving your heart to function at a 5, there is a party in heaven. Okay? But if you're a 7 and you're functioning at a 7, well, then the Holy Spirit's not doing any work in you. So please look at this when we look at it that way, that the Holy Spirit is the one that's working in you, and you should be striving towards this. This is goals. These are things we can look at and say, I can do that. Okay? So, a woman who fears the Lord. Proverbs 10 to 31. And this is the last chapter in Proverbs, which I think is also interesting. Okay? An excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. A heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will lack no gain. She does good to him for good. He does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships and of the merchants. She brings her food from afar. She arises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she prevents a vine. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She preserves her merchants with profitability. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold a spindle. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothes is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the gates when she sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teachings of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the way of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I like that one. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her work praise her at the gates. Okay. What a woman, what a picture of a strong, godly woman. Who takes herself up with confidence and provides and establishes a strong home for her family. I understand not everybody can do that, but let's take a few of the little highlights from that little passage. That is an amazing woman, a hard-working woman that says, I'm going to go out and I'm going to accomplish something for my family and for the glory of God, okay? And not everyone can go out and work like that, right? Not everybody can go plant a vineyard. Not everyone can go out and physically go and has the abilities or the finances to go and pursue business ventures. Not everyone can do that. Because if you guys remember the parable that Jesus talked about with the three servants, one servant was given one denarii, one servant was given three, and one was given five, correct? Not everybody was given the same amount of money. But he praised the one who invested the five and turned it into ten, and the one that invested the three and turned it into six. I probably have my numbers off. But the one with one didn't do anything with it, right? It's the same thing when we look at this passage. God has given each and every one of us something, and we need to work with that something, regardless of what it is. And this gives us a good vree to look at and say, okay, I can work towards this. Okay, I can work towards this. So let's take a look. A few of the highlights. The heart of her husband trusts in her. So relationships are tough. Some relationships are wonderful. Some relationships are broken, right? Like when we look at them from the outside. But when we look at them from the inside, they're probably a little bit of both regardless, right? Some might outweigh some might outweigh the other. But each relationship takes work. And it doesn't come automatically for that trust to come. It has to be made and it has to be developed. It isn't something that just drops and says, okay, now that we have this relationship or that we're married or that we're committed to each other, that well, everything's magically fine. It takes time. It takes diligence, right? They support each other. You know, I look at my own life with my wife. You know, she used to write me notes when I used to go off to football. And it was for training camp, and I have a few of them here. And whenever things were going wrong, she would make these notes. And it was actually when I used them for Bible things. And she's got, I'll press on. I give you 1,000 of these cards. Life is good. We'll be all right. And she's got other things in there. The support that we do builds that relationship and builds that trust. But the only way to do it is to do the little things, to be steadfast and working and willing to work and provide for a family. That doesn't happen overnight, and it isn't a one-time deal. It's happening and purposefully doing it over and over and over again. Same with being wise with your finances. She talks about how she goes out and makes money and makes wise decisions, right? One bad decision can cause you a fortune, right? And most of the time when things are gained, they are slowly taken apart, and things that are built last, right? But if everything is a one shot and it's, oh, there we go, those will go both ways. Okay, so they're wise with their finances. And the last one is a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Okay, that is a big part of the scripture, because without the fear of the Lord, what do we really have? We just have someone going around for their own greed. Someone going around just to look good against the public, judging themselves on the Joneses. Hopefully nobody here is named Joneses, right? But looking and going, okay, I'm doing pretty good because I got more than this guy over here, right? I feel much better because my kids didn't scream and yell, right? But I know that's not the case for me. So where do you get that comparison to, if that makes sense? We got to look back to God, and we have to say, okay, this is where he wants me, and I know I'm not living up to that standard, but I've got Christ, and I've got a God that understands that, and I'm going to be purposeful to work towards that, if that makes sense. And it isn't something that just can come overnight. It has to be a decision that we make, okay? A decision that we make. So we're purposeful in the way that we have people trust us. Someone that's trustworthy is continually to do the same thing over and over again. You can trust them to do it, right? Available and reliable is what they used to say in football. Wise with their decision making and generous. And then purposefully taking the choice to make something happen and to work towards that. And so I have a huge amount of respect for my wife in that area. She purposefully listens to the podcast. She purposefully works on our marriage. She purposely reads the books. She purposely does things which helps me out tremendously, because I know at times I don't purposely do it. And I know at times she doesn't purposely do it. But we work together, right? And when we stumble, it's because we're not purposely trying to do something. And if we're fearing the Lord, we're purposely trying to work towards that. Okay? So now that we've looked at the strong characteristics of what God wants us for men and women, things to work towards, let's look at the next one that we're going to look at is submission. And submission to God's will. And all the best demonstration of submission of God's will is, of course, Jesus Christ. A great example is in the Mount of Olives, when he was facing the task of taking on eternal punishment for our sins and taking everything that's the punishment that God we rightfully deserved upon himself. He says, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Now, submission, okay? Submission to someone else's will is a hard thing to do. But in the Bible, we have women who God has used to show us what this submission looks like for the good and the bad. Okay, so the first one we're going to look at is a story that everyone knows. Well, for the most part, everyone knows, and it's Adam and Eve and their fall from grace. And the reason that we had a fall from grace is because of a lack of submission to God's will. Okay, so at the start of creation, God only gave Adam and Eve one command, and it was don't eat of the fruit of the one tree. So Genesis 2:15 to 17, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you will surely die." Now this is a call to submission to God's will. Do this one thing. You don't understand why you can't do it, but you need to trust in me that it's the right thing to do, which is very difficult for us to do. Right? We have to submit to somebody else's will, even though we don't know the whole big picture. You know, God is pretty amazing, right? He knows everything. He knows what today was, tomorrow was, what yesterday was, today and tomorrow. He knows how it's going to pan out. So we have to trust in that, even though we don't see it with our own eyes. And that submission. It's kind of like a broken relationship. And maybe that it happened, or you can't get pregnant, or you have a problem with family or finding a husband. Well, maybe there's a reason that God just hasn't done it yet, or that it's not going to happen. We have to trust in him, even though it brings us this huge amount of pain, that God's will is done. And I know that's difficult. And I know that everybody's burden is different, but we have to trust in him. However, God gave Adam and Eve this one task, this one command. But what happened? We had temptation enter the world. So Genesis 3:1 to 7. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast in the field that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman said, 'We may eat of any fruit of the tree of the garden. But God said, you shall not eat the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. Either of you shall touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and she took and was delight to her eyes, and that the tree was a desire to make one wise. She took its fruit and ate, and she also gave it to her husband, who was there with her, and he ate it." Fleshly desires and wisdom, valuing our own desires over the will of God, is clear in that passage, right? It comes to a choice, and we said, you know what? God told me not to do it. I don't know why he didn't tell me what to do it. Now, Satan's sitting here and whispering in my eye. Society is whispering in my eye. Social media is whispering in my eye that I know I should probably wait. I know I shouldn't jump into that. Maybe I should just calm down, but I really, really want that thing. I got the wantsies, right? I got to have it now. I got to have it now, so I jump in, right? That's the temptation that Adam and Eve are facing here. And I'm saying Adam and Eve because it wasn't just Eve. The husband was with her, and he ate it. They saw the wants, they had the wantsies, and they took it because they didn't trust in God. However, there's personal consequences when that happens. So, in 16, "To the woman he said..." This is after God found out about this. Of course, God knew about it already, right? "To the woman, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but you shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the plants of the field, and the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you enter the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you were dust, and the dust you will return. So just like packing that bag that we talked about earlier, they just packed their bag with stuff they got to carry, right? Now God gave us the promise of Christ to get back to a relationship with him, but they still got to carry that bag. We just got huge consequences because we didn't submit to God's plan. Same thing with our society, humanity in a whole. We look at 22. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing the good and evil. Now lest he reach his hand out and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord of God sent him out of the garden of Eden and worked the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man at the east of the gate of Eden. He placed serdom, a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So we're going to take a look at that. There's consequences to our actions. There's consequences to the lack of submission that God has called us to. We look at Eve, complete disregard for the command of God. Well, complete. She was tempted, right? She was tempted and her husband didn't support her. Her husband didn't sit there and say, whoa, I'll just stomp that snake in the head and just be done with this, right? Well, no. We didn't submit because they both probably sat there and said, well, no, that probably makes a lot of sense. I can look at this. Society says, oh, yeah, why not? That makes a good thing. It might be against the principle. Why don't I move in with my girlfriend? It's going to save me a lot of money, right? That makes sense. Well, no. God said wait till marriage. Regardless if it's going to save you $500 a month. Try to stay with your parents. Not everybody can do that too. But God says do this because you don't need to pack that bag with stuff that you have to carry later. And that's what we see with Eve. Now with Adam, we see a lot of different things. Where's the support in this? He's standing beside his wife. He's standing beside the flesh of his flesh that God is giving him, and he didn't grab that snake and smack it. He didn't stomp it. He didn't provide the leadership that he was called to do. He let his wife fall into temptation. And then he played the blame game. He said, no, this woman you gave me, that was her fault. And I know I do that a lot. When things go wrong, I point fingers pretty quick. And I always point fingers at people that love me. I think my wife calls it a sounding rod or lightning rod. And that's something that I need to work on, right? That I know that I have the issue with. But I react to the people that love me the most because I know they're not going to leave me. But yet, I do it anyway because I'm playing the blame game. Same thing that Adam did, right? He blames his wife, and he doesn't take responsibility for his own actions. Or say, you know what, this happened, I can't do anything about it. But I'm going to make you feel bad, right? It doesn't make sense that way. It doesn't work. So he needed to support her, and he needed to stomp his thing. Now, we look at this lack of submission, it has caused external or eternal consequences, right? There's personal consequences, but there's also consequences for all of humanity. Now let's take, and that was from the lack of submission. Now let's take a look at the contracting story. The story that we all probably know here, but not we're going to go over it. It's the story of Mary and Joseph in the complete opposite situation where Adam and Eve brought death, Mary and Joseph's submission brings life. Okay? So, Mary. We're starting this conversation out at right when the angel has come in to talk to her about giving birth to conceiving Jesus Christ. News that kind of gives her an absolute bombshell into her life. Luke 1:35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, a child will be born, and he will be called Holy, the Son of God. So, what just happened here? Mary is sitting there. She's a young teenage girl. She's betrothed to Joseph. And she is sitting there going, my life's going to be pretty good. I'm going to be married into this family. He is going to become one with me, and we are going to live a life. We're going to have kids. We're going to have a good life, right? But this angel shows up and says, hey, nope, that's not the plan right now. The plan is that you are going to conceive through the Holy Spirit out of wedlock, and that son is going to save the world. But here's the bombshell. She would have been stoned for this. She would have been killed, or that's probably the worst case scenario, or at least thrown out of society and had to live on the background of society. But more than likely, they probably would have just killed her, right? That's the society that they're living in, right? But what's her response? And how does it respond to what Eve was, right? Eve got the wantsies, and Mary goes, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That's huge submission. And that's saying, okay, hey, I understand. That's not what I wanted. That's not something that keeps me safe and warm and fluffy inside. But if that's what you want, that's what we're going to do. Okay? And what was the consequences? Jesus Christ being able to die for our sins on the cross. Now let's take a look at Joseph. Just like Adam, he wasn't just sitting around watching this all happen. He wasn't sitting around and this happening aimlessly in the back of his head. Like, he knew about this, right? He knew about this. He had knowledge of it. And he had a decision to make of his own. Okay? So Matthew 1:19-21. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear and to take Mary of her as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and she will call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's pretty good news for Joseph to digest, okay? That's huge. A, my wife is pregnant, or my to-be betrothed wife is pregnant, and it's from God. Now, what are you going to do, right? Are you going to submit? Are you going to say, okay, God, if that's what your plan is, or are you going to say, you know, the easy way out is just to get rid of her and just to get rid of the situation and just go, okay, well, I'm going to focus what's best for me right now. Focus on the me, right? Or are you going to sit there and go, well, I just need some time for myself. Well, no, he doesn't do that. His reaction, we find out, is Matthew 1:24-25. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she gave birth to the son, and they called his name Jesus. It's a man that listens to the word of God and stands up for his wife and stands for the Lord, the commandments of the Lord. And these are things that we need to do in our own lives. When the decisions are tough, when society says, you know, we can just do this to get rid of a situation, right? Well, I might not have wanted that. I might have had all the negative. I just packed my bag extremely heavy with an unplanned pregnancy, right? Maybe that's something there. So what am I going to do, right? What am I going to do? You should choose what God wants you to choose, right? And not say what society says you can do. And that's tough. Those are tough decisions that we need to make. And the thing is that we have Christ. If you had made those decisions, you still have Christ. But we need to focus on what God wants, right? Those are difficult things. Just like Mary and Joseph, you have to make a choice. And you need to submit to the word of God. And finally, something truly special about women and motherhood. The act of giving birth is something special for women. And in 1 Timothy 2:15, yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. Now, I don't think that women are saved through childbirthing. I don't believe that spiritually they're just whooped off. However, through childbirth we were given Jesus Christ, who provides for us a rebirth through his death and resurrection. And through that belief, we are washed and given forgiveness of our sins, which is absolutely unbelievable. And that rebirth and creation from Christ in our spirits is a lot like what women provide us with populating the world. But we get ours through Christ on the second rebirth. And we always have to come back to him and bring our difficulties and our pains to him daily so we can walk. So to end up, we're going to point through the three things that we kind of went through. One, strive to live a life that brings glory to God. Two, submit to God and his will. And three, Jesus Christ covers our sins. Regardless if we don't always submit, if we fall, we have Christ. Because none of us are perfect, but we have Jesus Christ who covers our sins. So let's pray, and then Ken's going to come back up and lead one more song. Dear Heavenly Father, I praise you. I thank you for these mothers that we have that have influenced our lives, and I praise you for them. And I thank you for the guidance you've given us through the Bible to work our lives towards you so we can be more like your Son, Christ, Jesus Christ. We ask you to help each one of us to make the difficult decisions in our lives, decisions that we need to make to glorify you and to submit to your will and to your plan and your purpose, and to focus not on the wants and desires of our eyes, but to pack our bag with godly things that you want for us. I praise you, God, and I ask you to let us work that work in our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.